Sake Patipada Sutra, the practice for one in training, is discourse epiphone in Middle Length Sayings, Majjhima Nikaya. I have heard that on one occasion, the Blessed One was staying among the Sakyans at Kapilavattu in the Banyan Park. Now at the time, a new reception hall had just been built by the Kapilavattu Sakyans, and it had not been dwelt in by any contemplative priest or anyone at all in human form. So the Kapilavattu Sakyans went to the Blessed One and, on arrival, having bowed down, sat to one side. As they were sitting there, they said to him, "Lord, a new reception hall has just been built by Kapilavattu Sakyans, and it is not yet been dwelt by any contemplative priest or anyone at all in human form. May the Blessed One be the first to use it. When the Blessed One has used it first, the Kapilavattu Sakyans will use it afterward. That will be for their long-term welfare and happiness." The Blessed One acquiesced with silence. Sensing his acquiescence, the Kapilavattu Sakyans got up from their seats, bowed down to him, circumvented him, and then went to the new reception hall. On arrival, they spread it all over with felt rugs, arranged seats, set out a water vessel, and raised an oil lamp. Then they went to the Blessed One, and on arrival, having bowed down, stood to one side. As they were standing there, they said to him, "Lord, the reception hall has been covered all over with felt rugs. Seats have been arranged. A water vessel has been set out, and an oil lamp raised. It is now time for the Blessed One to do for as he sees fit." So the Blessed One, putting on his robe and taking up his bowl, outer robe, went together with the community of monks to the reception hall. On arrival, he washed his feet, entered the hall, and sat with his back to the central post facing east. The community of monks washed their feet, entered the hall, and sat with their backs to the western hall facing east, range around the Blessed One. The Kapilavattu Sakyans washed their feet, entered the hall, and sat with their backs to the eastern wall facing west, range around Blessed One. Then the Blessed One, having spent most of the night instructing, urging, rousing, encouraging the Kapilavattu Sakyans with Dhamma talk, said to Venerable Ananda, "Ananda, speak to the Kapilavattu Sakyans about the persons who follows the practice for one in training. My back aches, I will rest it." So Buddha was asking to preach this Seta Patipada. So what is that for one practicing training? It is that those who have attained stream enterer, once returner, and those are called Seta. So that's this the levels of sainthood. So the Venerable Ananda responded, "As you say, Lord." Then the Blessed One, having arranged his outer robe, folded in four, lay down on his right side in the lion sleeping posture, with one foot on top of the other, mindful and alert, having made a mental note to get up. Then Venerable Ananda addressed Mahanama the Sakyans. "There is the case, Mahanama, where a disciple of the Noble One is consummating virtue, guards the door to his sense faculties, knows moderation in eating, is devoted to wakefulness, is endowed with seven qualities, and obtains at will, without trouble or difficulty, the four jhanas that constitute heightened awareness and a pleasant abiding in the here and now." And then Venerable Ananda explained, "And how is the disciple of the Noble One consummating virtue? There is the case where the disciple of the Noble One is virtuous. He dwells restrained in accordance with the Patimokkha, consummating his behavior and sphere of activity. He trains himself, having undertaken the training rules, seeing danger in the slightest spot. This is how the disciple of the Noble One is consummating virtue." So this word Patimokkha is actually a monk sort of put 227 rules of conduct. So like this refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct and all those things, and it's the rules, so many rules are there for a Buddhist monk. And so he restrained from those, with those rules, those conduct. And how does one, the disciple of the Noble One, guard the doors to his sense faculties? There is the case where the disciple of the Noble One, on seeing a form with the eye, doesn't grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the eye, evil unskillful qualities such as greed or distress might assail him. He practices for its restraint. He guards the faculty of the eye. He achieves the restraint with regard to the faculty of the eye. So this Pali word is this nimitta gato hoti. So there is no this having seen something, won't drop a sign of that thing. And so remember last time we actually look at this one in detail, what will happen when we grasp these things. Remember that diagram I gave about these three paths, starting from the having seen agreeable form, then we actually, the last one in that line is that the painfulness in change arises. Just to remember agreeable object, then there is this contact to be felt as pleasant. When we see something, there is a contact. So there is this eye and the form, meeting of the three is eye contact. So this contact, because of the contact, there is this pleasant feeling. Because of the pleasant feeling, we have this approach with the joy. We approach the joy called somanasa pavichara in Pali. So therefore, there is this lust arises. Because of the lust, this sensual desire thinking arises. So now we are thinking about that object, what we have seen, heard of. And therefore, this lust-born fever arises. So we are burning from that desire. And then the constructive characteristic arises. Upad sankata lakkan. So that is that there is like a something leading to the birth. If something leading to birth arises, you can see the aging arises. Right? So likewise, there is this constructed characteristic arises. Therefore, there is this painfulness in change arises. So if someone is born, then there is this aging. So you can see the changes. Similarly, with the disagreeable object, you might remember that we went through that whole thing. And then there is this hate, and then the last one is the painfulness as pain. Like this, whenever there is this encounter of unpleasant things, there is this painfulness as pain. And then because of the neither agreeable nor disagreeable object, and then there is this neutral feeling, and there is delusion, the cruelty thinking. Because of the cruelty thinking, then there is this constructed characteristic of passing, vayasankata lakkana, like a death, passing arises. Because of that one, painfulness in construction arises. So whatever thing we construct, that one is actually failing. So that scenario. So don't forget about that one when you are thinking about this eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body. It always those 30 Dhamma parts apply. So that's how the bad thing. So the monk know about this thing. He knows about this diagram in other sense, what is going to happen. So knowing that one, so he, when he sees something, he guard his eye faculty. I don't want to see, I don't want to hear, you know, sort of thing. Automatically it is happening. So similarly on hearing sounds with the ear, on smelling an aroma with nose, on tasting a flavor with the tongue, on feeling a tactile sensation with body, on recognizing an idea with the mind, that is intellect. So he doesn't grasp at any theme or variations by which, if he were to dwell without restraint over the faculty of the intellect, evil unskillful qualities such as greed, distress might assail him. He practices for the restraint, for its restraint. He guards the faculty of the intellect. He achieves restraint with regard to the faculty of intellect. This is how the disciple of the Noble Ones guards the doors to his sense faculties. And how does the disciple of the Noble Ones know moderation in eating? There is the case where the disciple of the Noble Ones, considering it appropriately, takes his food, not playfully, nor for intoxication, nor for putting on bulk, nor for beautification, but simply for the survival and continuance of this body, for ending its afflictions, for the support of the holy life, thinking I will destroy all feelings of hunger and not create new feelings from overeating. Thus I will maintain myself, be blameless, and live in comfort. This is how the disciple of the Noble Ones knows moderation in eating. So you can see it's just not for the beautification, you know, it's just for the maintenance of the body. If we eat quite a lot, what is happening is that we feel sleepy and, you know, lethargic, lethargyness will come to existence. So it's the moderation in eating. It's good for everybody. And these days especially that, you know, fat and all those things can cut down as well with this way. And how is the disciple of the Noble One devoted to wakefulness? There is the case where a monk during the day, sitting and facing back and forth, cleanses his mind of any qualities that would hold the mind in check. That is, we are talking about the hindrances here. Remember that we have this five hindrances. The sensuous desire is one hindrance. And then this anger is one hindrance. And then this loath and torpor, that is sickness of the mind and sickness of mental state. Restlessness and worry and the doubt. So cleansing the mind from those five hindrances, so called Nivarana Dhamma. So he check the mind whether I do have these things. And then he's, if it is there, he actually cleanses his mind. During the first watch of the night, you can see it is the first watch is actually dusk to 10 p.m. Sitting and pacing back and forth, he cleanses his mind of any qualities that would hold mind in check. During the second watch of the night, that is 10 to 2 a.m., reclining on his right side, he takes up the lion's posture, one foot placed on the top of the other, mindful, alert, with his mind set on getting up, either as soon as he awakens or at a particular time. So you can see the monks are actually those days sleeping only for 4 hours, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. During the last watch of the night, that is 2 a.m. to dawn, sitting and pacing back and forth, he cleanses his mind of any qualities that would hold the mind in check. So again, checking these hindrances. So this we actually discuss four things. And the fifth one is, and how is the disciple of the Noble One endowed with seven qualities? There is the case where the disciple of the Noble One has a conviction. This is Saddha. He is convinced of the Tathagata's awakening. Indeed, the Blessed One is worthy and rightly self-awakened, consummate in clear knowing and conduct, well-born and expert with regard to the world, unexcelled, unexcelled as a trainer for those people to be fit to be tamed, the teacher of divine and human beings, awakened Blessed One. So this is the meaning of the Itipiso Bhagava, that Gatha. So over here, one thing that people sort of not know is that the trainer of those people fit to be tamed, not very well explained by many people, this one. Normally, Buddha is an arahant and clear knowing and conduct, that is Charana Dhamma is there, well known and expert with regard to the world. So if you are looking for a meaning for this, this one has got a very big meaning. Trainer for those people to be fit to be tamed. That was actually explained in Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta in Middle End Sayings. Why Buddha is called a trainer for those people to fit to be tamed? It is not because this Buddha can train people like Angulimala. It's a very minor thing. Buddha sent people to this Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta says, but it is said that he is incomparable trainer of those to be tamed. Why was it said so? So Buddha said the elephant tamer makes the elephant go to be tamed, go in one direction, either east, west, north or south. Similarly, horse trainer send the horse to different direction. Likewise, Buddha, perfectly enlightened Buddha, send men to tame to go in 8 directions. That's why it's called the incomparable tamer of the people. So what are these 8 directions? That one direction is in matter to see matter. This is the first direction. So that is that someone actually developed this the kasina, this let's say the blue kasina or some meditation. He used the meditation object, having obtained that blue sign, so he got the internally that this blue, everything he perceived as a blue over. And then he apply externally that the blue, the whole world is this blue, and no other perceptions. So it's actually a liberation, sort of a liberation, because he is not actually bothering about any other colors or any other things. This is completely perception is blue, so it's a blueness is there for him. So that's one sort of liberation. And the other one is actually with the internal immaterial perceptions to see external matters. And he fears that he actually doesn't perceive the internally this is blue, but he applies that one externally. So obviously that person actually has developed that one before, so that he doesn't need that blue concept to be applied to the internally, he can actually apply externally. And the third direction is that to be pleasant in the pleasant end. These are the four Brahma Vihara. It is that abidings, that loving kindness, for example. One would spread the loving kindness to the north direction, east direction, west direction, all the directions in the, you know, the three watches of the night. We spread like that one in the daytime. And again, this compassion, spread like that all the time. And then the appreciative joy, mudita, spread like that. And then equanimity, spread like that one for all the time. So his mind is so pure. It is that it's like that if you spread the loving kindness to, you know, that normally you do for this, let these people be, you know, well and so on. And then after a little while, you actually lose the concept about these beings itself. You don't have to say it in your mind that these animals, humans and so on, that you lose that wording over there. And then loving kindness holding your mind thoroughly and every direction, every living being. So it's developing that level. That the restraint of faculty we just discussed a little while ago is the cause. It is the one letting you develop this one as well. If you restrain your faculties, then you can have this loving kindness spreading in that way. Otherwise, you see that you get a pleasurable object, you cling, and the displeasurable object, you reject that one. Right? When these faculties are made like that one, then he can actually maintain such a thing. So that's the third direction. And then the fourth direction is that the space is infinite consciousness. That one actually going beyond these material things, he actually developed that space is infinite perception, arupa dhyana. And then the consciousness infinite is the next one. And then the plane of nothingness is the next one. And then neither perception nor non-perception is the another direction. And then the cessation of feeling and perception. Those are the eight directions. So Buddha sent the human beings or divine beings, anyone, into those eight directions. That's why we call him the Tama, the Anuttara Purusadhamma Sarathi in Pali. That's the meaning of that one. Now, so we discussed the first one. So one has got the faith about the Buddha. The Buddha is enlightened and Buddha is such a person. He feels shame. It's called hiri in Pali. At thought of engaging in bodily misconduct, verbal misconduct, mental misconduct. Some of you who were here before in this Citadel discourse we discussed. And Buddha there was simile for this one. I got the discourse over here. It is actually Buddha compare that one to a moat. There is a moat around the, you know, the citadel. The king has got a citadel, and the citadel, there's a protection for that one. There is a moat that people can't cross this water around it. So this shame is like that one, moral shame. That I'm not letting anything come in, any bad, evil things comes in. And that faith was actually compared to a pillar in that one, you know, the strong pillar in and then the third one is he feels concern for suffering that result from bodily misconduct, verbal misconduct, mental misconduct. That is that there's fear of doing evil things. If I do killing sort of thing, then I know about the consequences. Having known the consequences, then I'm not going to do these things, killing, stealing, all those bad things. So there's this fear. He has heard much, has retained what he has heard, has told what he has heard. It's called Bahusuto Hosi. And this one is just as the citadel has a great armory of spear and sword for the protection of the inmates, even so monks and Aryan disciple had heard much, and their eyes retaining a story of things heard. So those are like weapons in that place. So what you have heard and learned is like a weapon you can use to, you know, that if I got the hindrances, then I know that I got the sensual desire, then I can use this meditation. What is my meditation? I'm thinking about 32 parts of the body, our dead body. So like weapons, one can use to remove the other, the sensuous desire. If I have the anger, then I can use loving kindness. So like that. The fifth one is that he keeps his persistence aroused for abandoning unskilled mental qualities and taking on skillful mental qualities. He steadfast solid in his effort, not shrinking his duties with regard to skillful mental qualities. And over here in this discourse, Buddha used that one to talk about a large body of troops stationed in the citadel. You know, inside the citadel there is this fortress, so this the troops are there. So like elephant riders, horse riders, bowmen, standard bearers, cleaners of clothes and so forth, for the protection of the inmates. Even so, monks and Aryan disciples abide steering energy to be rid of righteousness, to follow righteous things, steadfast, firm in advance. He lays not aside the yoke of righteousness. With energy as an armed force, the Aryan disciple abandons unrighteous ways and makes righteous become of this fifth good thing he is possessed. So it's like the tools to remove this the evil things. You know, the effort is to remove the evil, unarising evil things. So, or prevent the arising of evil things. So, if there, or again, there is this effort is fourfold. So, to develop the wholesome states, whatever the wholesome state that you do not have, has to be developed, like this concentrations, you know, wisdom and all those things. And whatever the skill state, we have to maintain it. So that's the effort is fourfold. And the sixth one is he's mindful, highly meticulous, remembering and able to call to mind even things that were done and said long ago. So that's again, if you think about the mindfulness, you can see there is this mindfulness as regards body. That is this this body of this nature, you know, that if you think about the 32 parts of the body, that there is this hair of the body, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, all those things. Or you can think this body in terms of these elements, element of extension, element of heat, element of motion, all those things are there. And he knows the arising phenomena of these things, how the body comes to arise, how the body passes away. So this thing is this arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. And similarly, he knows about the feeling, every feeling, how the feeling comes to arise, how the feeling passes away. And the thoughts, he knows about thoughts, mindful, aware about the thoughts, and about the Dhamma as well. So by developing this mindfulness in that way, he can actually later on recollect everything. You see, the mindfulness is something support the mind, the concentration of the mind. If you develop the mindfulness bit by bit, and you can remember quite a lot. You do not know the power of this one. Having done these four foundations of mindfulness meditation, you probably see that one time I'm mindful to this extent, and later on you can actually become more and more mindful. And you can even, later on, you can even recall your past births. It's going up to that level. So
to do that you should have been mindful in that in previous births too?
No. It is that you are mindful now. You do develop the meditation. When you develop the meditation and you are mindful, then your concentration get developed. Because of your concentration, you can recall your volitional formations. It's like, if someone says a part of a song, then you can remember the rest of the song, right? So that is called associative memory. Likewise, over here, for the concentrated mind, if you, for example, think what I did in my last birth, then those volitional formations comes. What was I doing at that time? So they are somehow, you have the ability to take it out. So it's this mindfulness leads to that one. Venerable Anuruddha said that can recall 1,000 births backward. And due to the four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana, having developed that one, he can do that much. So that's the mindfulness. Then the seventh one is he is discerning, endowed with discernment of arising and passing away, noble penetrating, leading to the right ending of stress. So this is called panya. There is this arising and passing away that, remember that when we talk about the mindfulness, we were talking about this, one would know this is matter. Then one would know how the arising of matter. One would know how the passing away of matter. So the wisdom is, then wisdom get developed that you actually see, penetrated, and you actually see that this is how these things are come to arrive. So whatever thing you see, mindfulness reminds you, do not let you forget that this is matter. Such is the arising of matter, such is passing away. And the wisdom you have penetrated and you actually see, it's like a plaster. It doesn't allow things to creep through that plaster. You know, it's completely smooth thing in that wisdom. So that's to develop this wisdom, you can see that one has to contemplate in five ways regarding five things. That is this matter, feeling, perception, original formation and consciousness. Those are the five aggregates subject to clinging. So one would contemplate the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena in five ways as well. So what are those five ways? One is that one would see that this because of the craving arises, this form arises. You know, like that, because of the craving, we get this birth. You know, with the birth, there is this body come to arise. So this arising of craving is the cause for this arising of form. And because of the avijja, that is ignorance, that the form arises. That is because of the ignorance, not knowing the four noble truths. And you can see that because of the ignorance, there is this volitional formation. Because of the volitional formations, then there is this consciousness. And then consciousness, name and form, mind and matter. And then it goes through like that. And then there's this the birth arises. And because of the karma, that is volition, karma, this form arises. Or else, this because of the nutriment, you can see our body is sustained and arise because of the nutriment. That the baby, if you feed milk and all those things, you know, the sustained. Even if you don't have food, then this body won't be sustained. So the form arises because of the nutriment. And then you can see when there is a birth, that there is this arising phenomenon. Otherwise, when the baby comes in, then we know that the baby is there, the birth is there, so there is this arising phenomenon, like that. So there are five ways to see that. And similarly, one has to see the passing away phenomena. If the craving ceases, form ceases. If the ignorance ceases, the form ceases. And if the nutriment ceases, form ceases. With the cessation of nutriment comes the cessation of form. The cessation of the volitional formations, this karma, then the cessation of the form. And when the pass away, death, then the cessation of the form. So there are five ways. So similarly, regarding the form, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, one would have to contemplate very heavily so that one can get into this knowledge of this wisdom. And so that's the seven qualities over here. So we discussed only five things over here so far. The sixth one, in how does the disciple of the Noble One obtain at will without trouble or difficulty the four jhanas that constitute heightened awareness and a pleasant abiding in the here and now. There is the case where quite withdrawn from sensuality, withdrawn from unskilled mental qualities, the disciple of the Noble Ones enters and remains in the first jhana, rapture and pleasure born from withdrawal accompanied by direct thought and evaluation. So here you can see there's this word direct thought and evaluation is there. It is sometimes translated as initial application and sustained application, or vitakka vichara in Pali. So what is this vitakka, initial application? Is that's the thought of renunciation. You know, having seen this person, having seen that there is much suffering in the world, and this aging, sickness and all those things. Having understood that one to a certain extent, having contemplated the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, now he actually think about, well, these things are actually creating me quite a lot of trouble. If I let my eye unguarded, for example, then I get into those wrong things, bad things, and you know, I get this suffering. So having understood these things, then he actually think about renouncing those things. Thought of renunciation, thought of non-malevolence, those thoughts are coming to him. Thought of non-harming, so those are the thoughts. So initial application is just like that you are introducing, for example, a bee coming to a flower. So it's just the initial application. And guy rooting around the flower is the sustained application. So those thoughts are maintained, you know, the renunciation thoughts, applied and then maintained. Applied and maintained. So it's a very simple technique in that sense. Rather than grabbing and holding things, now the renounce and maintain that thought. So when one would do that one, then his mind becomes tranquil. Because you see that when we are actually angry, you can see we have a very bad mind at that particular time. You know, angry, burning with the anger and sort of thing. And for the same person, that when he's actually calmed down, he can say, I was very angry before and that was bad. And now I am calm and so I'm feeling happy. Likewise, these hindrances, when the five hindrances are got suppressed by this application of the mind, like this the renunciation thoughts, not harming thoughts, maintained for some time, so that person is so calm now, happy about it, and his mind becomes rapturous. You know, the rapture flows through the body, the head, and depending on the things he has developed. So that's the first jhana concentration. So you can see the jhana concentration, you get that one, and then you ceases that one, you get it again, and you know that later on you get the ability to maintain it as well.
The hindrances are suppressed or something else?
It's suppressed. Suppressed in the sense that they are not coming to existence. They are not in the range at that time. So whatever the hindrances, let's say you were angry. Why you were angry? Because there was some sort of a contact, disagreeable contact. Now at this particular point, you are not actually paying any attention to those angry objects. Because of your good conduct over here, you are not paying attention. But the tendency to go there is there inside this thing. But when you go into the concentration, the jhana concentration, you cannot be taken down. When you are actually there, you cannot be taken down. As soon as you pass away from that concentration level, well, then anything can happen. So that's the situation. But normally, you see that when you are actually calmer, the next moment got to be calmer as well. So when you go into the higher concentration and you are happy, and when you come out of here also you are happy. Right? So you see the people are, when they are in a happy mood, they do so many things, you know, that even the things that you ask before, that he said, I don't give, then next time you are happy when you ask, they'll give, because there is this happiness and will prevail in that time. So it's a there's tendency that if you, since you are in the rapturous position and you are happy, and next moment is also happiness. And the beauty of this one is that there is no tendency to attachment. In the sense pleasure, there is tendency to attachment. It lies latent in the pleasurable feeling. And over here, in this feeling, there is no tendency to attachment. So having got the jhana today, concentration today, and you are not actually thinking, ah, I had that there concentration, I should go there now and do that one sort of thing. You actually make some sort of ascetic practice that every day at this particular time I'm actually doing this meditation, therefore you are getting that. So that's the beauty of that one. So now we got the first jhana concentration. With the stilling of direct thoughts and evaluations, he enters and remains in the second jhana. So first you can see that there was this the initial application and sustained application. So he actually inclined his mind. Now this is suffering. This is the aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, and so on before. Now, having contemplated for a long time, then he doesn't have to actually apply, keep on applying that one. Because he has done that, you know, the part of the job has been performed before. So therefore, he can actually maintain the rapture in that situation. And then, so rapture is sort of something, first, when you don't have it, you want to have it, right? When you have it, you know the value of it, but it's a bit troublesome because it's like a water flowing in the body, you know, the rapture is flowing the whole body and sort of thing, and it disturbs you in a certain sense because you keep on contemplating about this aging, sickness and death sort of thing, and then the insight is coming up and it's rapturous that it's sort of not stable because there's this sometimes there's a bit of a biasness for rapture as well. So, then in the third jhana concentration, the rapture ceases because now you are thinking about not having the rapture. You are happy to have it at the first instance, like that. If I want to go to the shrine room, then I have to step on this first step over there. Otherwise, I can't jump over there, right? So the rapture is the first step over there, and then the second step. So likewise, there is this the gradual thing. So having got the rapture passed away. And then you live with a pleasurable feeling. It's a really happy feeling. If I explain it a little bit, it's like if you go to a beach with you know the slight breeze coming up, and you have closed your eyes, and then it's touching your eyelid, then there is some sort of a feeling, right? So this is the lowest thing I can sort of explain in that one, that this one is so pleasurable. You can see if you actually spread the loving kindness for a long time, And you can easily see this one, this rapture, the pleasure. It's a mental pleasure. It's not like a water flowing in this one. So there is this pleasure that is in the third jhana concentration level. And in the, suppose, now since there is pleasure, there is this biasness for that pleasure as well. I'm happy to have the rapture before. Now I am not happy to have a rapture, but I am happy to have this pleasure. And then you become indifferent to the pleasure. Because that pleasure is there, and then my mind, I mean, because this is the RN disciple who wants to attain Nibbana, not just have the rapture or the pleasure. He's beyond that level thing, because he knows this thing is also constructed. I don't want to cling into that one. So he goes beyond that one. He becomes indifferent to the pleasure that has arisen. When he becomes indifferent to the pleasure that has arisen, his mind becomes going to the equanimity state, upekkha. So that's the fourth jhana, fourth concentration level. So that fourth concentration level is really stable. Buddha said that's the stable level. Now, when a disciple of the Noble Ones is consuming virtue in this way, guards the door, that's the second one, his sense faculties in this way, knows moderation in eating, is devoted to wakefulness in this way, is endowed with seven qualities in this way, and obtains at will without trouble or difficulty the four jhanas that constitute heightened awareness and peace and abiding in the here and now in this way, then he is called a disciple of the Noble Ones, who follows the practice for one in training, whose egg are unspoiled, who is capable of breaking out capable of awakening, capable of attaining the supreme rest from the yoga. Just as if a hen had 8, 10 or 12 eggs that she covered rightly, warmed rightly and incubated rightly, even though this wish did not occur to her, oh that my chicks might break through the egg's shell with their spiked claws or breaks and hatch out safely, still it is possible that the chicks would break through the shells with their spiked claws or breaks and hatch out safely. In the same way, when a disciple of the Noble Ones is consummating virtue in this way, guards the door to his sense faculties in this way, knows moderation in eating in this way, is devoted to wakefulness in this way, is endowed with 7 qualities in this way, and obtains at will without trouble or difficulty the 4 jhanas that constitute heightened awareness and a pleasant abiding in the here and now in this way, when he is called a disciple of the Noble Ones, who follows the practice for one in training, whose eggs are unspoiled, who is capable of breaking out, capable of waking, capable of attaining the supreme rest from the yoke, from those bondages. Now, when the disciple of the Noble One has arrived at purity of equanimity and mindfulness, he recollects his manifold past lives, one birth, two birth, three birth, 50, 100, 1000, 100,000 eons of cosmic contraction, many eons of cosmic expansion, many eons of cosmic contraction and expansion. There I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance, such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from the state, I re-arose there. There too I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance, such was my food, such my experience of pleasure and pain, such the end of my life. Passing away from that state, I re-arose here. Thus he recollects his manifold past lives in their modes and details. This is the first breaking out, like that of the hen's chicks from their shell. So this is the first knowledge the Buddha got in the first watch of the night. When the disciple of the Noble Ones has arrived at this purity of equanimity and mindful, he sees by means of divine eye, purified and surpassing the human. So this divine eye element is coming from the contemplation about the light, for example. That if someone is actually perceive light, that you see that there is light over here and there is sunlight, the daytime. So one would perceive that the daytime, the light, sunlight, and it's not the object that actually sun is actually showing you, it's the light. And having perceived that light, and then in the meditation, when you are doing the meditation, let's say night time, you perceive the night the way that you perceive the day, as night by day, that's the same light. So you can maintain that light. There's about number of ways to develop that one. It is that you develop it the below and above, like these 32 parts. You meditate on the 32 parts, but still the light is there. There are 16 ways to develop that, the 16 elements for the development of this light. And having developed that one, so we have this normal light. There is this called Dibbachakku. This is the wisdom, the light. And then from the Dibbachakku, there comes the eye of wisdom as well, Prajna Chakku. So divine eye, then there is this, the faculty of wisdom get developed there. And so now he can actually see the by means of divine eye, purified and surpassing the human being, passing away and reappearing. So he can see that this person is having done these bad things, born here and then passing away, from then reappearing somewhere else, and all those things, like a person who come into from to a village, entering the village and then passing away from the village. He can actually see these karma, these beings who were endured with bad conduct of body, speech and mind, who revived Noble Ones, held wrong view and undertook actions under the influence of wrong views, with the breakup of the body after death, have reappeared in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, the lower realms in hell. But these beings who were endured with good conduct of the body, speech and mind, who did not revile noble ones, who held right views and undertook actions under the influence of right views with the breakup of the body after death, have reappeared in the good destinations in the heavenly world. Thus, by means of the divine eye, purified and surpassing the human, he sees being passing away and reappearing, and he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma. This is the second breaking out, like that of the hen sticks from their shells. You see that if someone has developed it, don't have to think that these things will happen. So it's automatic, really happen. Now when the disciple of the noble ones has arrived at this purity of equanimity and mindfulness, he enters and remains in the fermentation's free awareness release, discernment release. It's called Chetonyukti and Paknyavimutti. So one would get released by the wisdom. You develop wisdom, for example, going through the Eightfold Path, meditate and see the rising phenomena, passing away phenomena. Having developed those things, one would get liberated by wisdom. Or one can actually develop the concentration, going to the fourth concentration level, and beyond that one, the concentration is the highest level, and there is this liberation of the mind because of the concentration. So that, for example, if you have the loving kindness maintained for a long time, and there is liberation over here, and then compassion, because those loving kindness and the compassion develop to a greater extent, lead to something called apini the cheto vimukti. That is that you do not actually hold anything. You are not holding anything as mine in that sense. That you see the things are as suffering and you have got out of that situation. And that's one kind of thing. And then with the equanimity level develop, concentration, that maintained for a long time, you would get liberation that you don't see anything permanent, because you see things all constructed. It's called sotatta nimittam nakaranti, that there is no permanent sign, there's nothing permanent. So there's a liberation. And the other one is the shunyata, that is this the voidness, liberation. So those four liberations, those three liberations are there. So that's called Cheto Vimukti. Having, so one would achieve that one, having directly known and realized them for himself right in the here and now. This is the third breaking out, like that one of the hens chicks from their shell. So there are three good things over here. You can see one can recollect past births, many births. And one can see the divine eye element. Because of the divine eye element, one can see that someone passing away from here, born over there because of this karma. And then the breaking up this eggs, like the fermentation free awareness, chetonyukti, and the discernment released by wisdom. Now, when the disciple of the noble one is consummating virtue, that is a matter for his conduct. This conduct, this word is charana. Probably you might have heard about the 15 charana dhamma. Some of you might have heard about this 15 charana dhamma, Pasalos charana dhamma. So you can see that we have this 15 of them over here. Remember that we started with this, the first one is that the virtue. First one is the virtue. Second one is this the guarding of the sense faculties. The third one is that moderation in eating. The fourth one is the devoted to wakefulness. That was night time when he's actually not sleeping quite a lot and awakening. And the fifth one is that the seven qualities. And when you look at the seven qualities, that one has got the seven factors inside that one. So the first four plus over here seven, that is 11. And then the four concentrations, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana and fourth jhana. So you can see 15. There are 15 charma dhamma is there. Good, the 15 conducts. You know that those the concentration, dhyana concentrations also conduct, that one would actually abide and live in that those concentrations. those are called divine abiding. When he guards the doors to his sense faculties, knows moderation in eating, he is devoted to wakefulness, he is endowed with seven qualities, that is a matter of his conduct. When he obtains at will, without trouble or difficulty, the four jhanas that constitute heightened awareness and peace and abiding in here and now, that is a matter of his conduct. So that's how one would, the learner behave, learner conduct himself. When he recollects his manifold past lives, they are in their modes and details, that is a matter of his clear knowing, it's called anusarati, remembering. When he sees by means of divine eye, purified and surpassing the human being, passing away and reappearing, when he enters, remain in fermentation free awareness, release and discernment release, having directly known and realized them for himself, right in here and now, this is a matter of his clear knowing. This Mahanama is called a disciple of the noble ones, who is consummating clear knowing, consummating conduct, consummating clear knowing and conduct. And by the Brahma, Sannam Kumara, this verse was said, the noble warrior is the best among people when judging by clan. But a person consummating clear knowing and conduct, that is Vijja Charamindam Sampannu, is the best of being human and divine. This verse was well sung by the Brahma Sannam Kumara, not ill sung, well said, not ill said, connected with the goal, not connected with the goal. It was endorsed by the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One got up and said to Venerable Ananda, good Ananda, what you have said to Kapilavatthu Sakyans about the persons who follows the practice for one in training is good. This is what Venerable Ananda said. And the teacher approved, gratified at Kapilavatthu Sakyan, delighted in Venerable Ananda's words. So this is the Seka Patipada, one in training. So you can see there is 15 of them. Some of them are sort of difficult for us, like that sleeping for 4 hours, night time. We are sort of sleeping more than that. But those monks, those days, they devoted to this thing, working very hard. See those 4 hours over there, and then the time they go for this pindapati to collect this thing. All the other time they keep on practicing, that many hours. I can remember in one discourse, Venerable Mahamoggallan, he has not actually attained Arahantship by that time, and he was feeling sleepy. He struggled quite a lot, and Buddha saw from his psychic power from somewhere else that Venerable Moggallana is actually like that one. So Buddha appeared at that point and said to Venerable Moggallana, don't be lethargic, apply your this energy. And so Buddha gave a good discourse, good for these small children as well, that if you feel sleepy, then you can rub your ear, wash your face, studying. That's one thing, and then walking, here and there, to just to break that sleepiness. And so Venerable Moggallana, so then he developed the mind, he got the psychic power quite a lot. Psychic power, he can go from somewhere to anywhere, just like that, and attain to a highest concentration. And Venerable Moggallana said that if someone says that whoever attained something because of the teacher, it is me. Venerable Moggallana attained that one because of the help from the teacher. The Buddha helped the Venerable Moggallana quite a lot in that sense. Venerable Sariputta was different in that sense. These things has to be practiced. If someone wants to attain these things to a certain extent, if you want to achieve the higher levels, then all of them has to be, to become an Arahant. For example, one has to do quite a lot, those 15 things. And at least, if you guard your senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and the mind, really valuable. Because by guarding eye, ear, nose, tongue and the mind, lot of evil things, you can actually stop at that particular time. Once it is grabbed and hold in your mind, then you need to deal with it for a little while to get rid of it. But by the time of seeing, if you control your senses and nothing is come, and you have become happy as well, untouched, because your faculties, eye, ear, nose, and body are untouched. Because of that one, then you become rapturous happiness as well, anavajya sukha. And then that leads to those 10 good qualities that the discourse that we discussed before the last one. That is this, we get this virtue, refrain from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and then this refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander. That's those virtue part. And having seen something, we do not grab, let this be in mind. Because you have controlled your faculties. So you have seen that one, you controlled your faculty, you saw nothing. So there's nothing for you to grab. And having seen someone, you don't say that, let this guy be dead. Because how can you say that one? Because I have not seen, I have actually controlled my senses. As soon as I see that person or something, because evil things can come into my mind, knowing that one, knowing the trouble, I control my senses. So therefore, it's not come to me. And then there is this right view. Because of our wrong way of living, we do have the wrong way of living, vichapatipatti, wrong way of living, wrong conduct. Because of the wrong conduct, we get this wrong view. So since there is this right way of living, it's the right conduct, therefore there is this eightfold path. For someone who is behaving like this, because of the eightfold path is there, the factors are there, these factors will take you into a higher concentration, higher destination, I think. So both those things you can see is guarding of the faculties. It's a really big thing. So since we do not actually give that much value to these things, what Buddha said, these things, 2500 years has been passed, but we are still here. We were not actually giving much attention to these things, and that's why it is it's called faith, not having enough faith about this Buddha, what Buddha said.
You have a faith, you have to hear Dhamma.
That's right. So that's
so that's
the Avijja Sutta. So when one would hear Dhamma, then he get the faith, then he actually think about those Dhamma, and then he get the mindfulness. So mindfulness get developed. When they get the mindfulness, and well, you apply the wise attention. First you get the wise attention because of the Dhamma. That is only so manasikara. Because of the wise attention, mindfulness. Because of the mindfulness, and the restraint of the faculties. Because when you actually apply the, if you do this, wise attention. In the wise attention, how do you do the wise attention? You think about things as impermanent, subject to suffering. Think something as suffering, then I don't want to have it. For example, if I might earlier used to live with having seen something, let's have it. It's pleasurable, let's have it. Sort of feeling. Now, having contemplated that this leads to suffering, this leads to suffering, oh, this is suffering at that particular time, then I don't want to see it. So I control my eyes, I don't want to see it. So the faculty restraint comes in.
This moderation in eating part, that's one thing I can understand. It says, we destroy all feelings of hunger and not create new feelings from
over. Yes. Yeah,
so
you see that.
Maintain myself, be blameless. That is a blameless.
Oh, well, if you actually, if you eat quite a lot and sleep and don't do any work, what would your wife say to you? You know, like that one, right? So this guy is a lazy guy, not doing any work and eat and sleep like that, right? And for a child, when doing that one, and not working sort of thing, you know, not studying, the father would say, this fellow is lazy. So, and for monks, you know, if they eat quite a lot and then sleep, and the other people, lay people will say, you know, this monk, what he's doing, he's actually eating and sleeping. Yeah. So, the blamelessness is there. And he's getting rid of the old feeling, you know, that have the craving for this food and things before, and I won't. Some people are living for eating. Some people live for eating. That's their living. Some people eat for living. So that's the difference. Over here it is just eat for living, that's all, just to maintain the body. So yeah, so moderating in eating is a very good thing as well. If you eat quite a lot, then you can't do the meditation, you can't study, you can't do anything.
It's good nice. For health as well.
Very good for health.
I also was thinking about regarding this moderation in eating. So if we bring up tanha, and then you say, it says that we eat only to
maintain.
And if you go a bit further, if you only then tanha as well, then go a bit further.
That's what we are going to do anyway. So can you do it at the beginning? You can't do that. Because that's why, because we like the food, that's why we eat. Isn't it? Because
our target is not that. We have to keep maintaining.
Yeah. This is only for the maintenance of the body that you would do. You are not going to cling to those things. And what you are trying to say is that arahant, why would an arahant eat? Is that what you are trying to say? Yeah. They are just eating. They don't destroy the body. They just, they maintain it. They are not unhappy, mentally unhappy if they don't have. They had those things as well. And on the other hand, you can see the lay disciples, they acquire much merit by offering to an arahant. Venerable Mahakashyapa, he was a forest dweller, he lived in the forest. He attained Nirodha Samapatti, the cessation of feeling and perception, at least for 1 hour for a day. Why he maintained that one? If someone attains the Nirodha Samapatti and he goes in the arms round, if someone gives any small thing to that person, it's highly meritorious for that person. So then Venerable Mahakashyapa actually see, where am I going today? And he see that people, poor people, who are actually, not having anything. So one day he actually went through this, Nira, that in the
Pedivales,
and so he knew that this woman who is coming is going to die as well, and so that person had porridge in her hand, so she filled up with this porridge thing completely, this whole patra almost filled with that one. I mean, imagine you eating that, they live on one meal per day. Just living from that one. So Venerable Kashyapa ate that one. That the woman went, and then a snake has bitten her, and then she passed away. And she was born in Tautinsaralam or somewhere. And then she was looking at, how did I arrive over here? What merit I did? And she saw what she has done. And then she came to where the Venerable Kashyapa is, and then she cleaned up this place. With the divine power and sort of thing. Venerable Kashyapa look at that. What has happened over here? Who cleaned this thing? So the first day and the second day. And then third day, Venerable Kashyapa was awake and looking at what's happening. And so Venerable Kashyapa said, don't come over here. And I want to hear them. So you come to hear them in that this sort of thing. So Venerable Kashyapa was like that. So it's very highly meritorious. If you get any opportunity to give these things to arahant, they don't destroy their body, they don't have any craving. If you don't give, yes, they pass away. But by giving that one, if you have an arahant and they are actually preaching you Dhamma, and having heard that Dhamma, how many people are actually attaining high levels? So it's not
for even for an arahant, hunger is a bodily feeling, right?
Yeah, then you have the physical feeling.
Stop eating, even though you are.
You can't. If you stop eating, then they will die. But they are not eating for craving or anything like that. Should we stop for today then?